all be seated. The kids choir are going to sing a song.
If you could please come forward for the prayer, and our prayers tonight will be Alex and Austin Penrod.
Thank you that we have a great place to come to church and glorify you, and please be with Brother Randy Sturwalt, and touch his body if it be your will, and please bless the service that is to follow, and please be with the Tulsans in that situation, and please be with the crew to Kenya. Keep them safe.
God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for everything that you provided for us. I thank you for the opportunity to come and worship you freely. I pray for the service tonight that all will go well, and that we would glorify you in all that we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Could be seated, please. It is great to be here. I've never been to a student driven before, and I've never preached in Vision before, so it's my first time. So please turn your Bibles to Hebrews 10, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 4. So as some context, in the Old Testament, God required the Israelites to kill animals as a sacrifice to atone for their sins. They would sacrifice a clean animal, and this would atone. Only a clean animal was worthy, though. But in the New Testament, however, when Jesus died on the cross, he became the final sacrifice. He was the only clean, pure enough human to save us from our sins. The Old Testament sacrifices were only meant to point to Jesus' final sacrifice on the cross. When he died, it was the last sacrifice needed. Let's read. Hebrews 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. So there's this game me and my sister sometimes play called Shadow Tag, where we try to tag each other's shadows instead of actually tagging their physical bodies. But imagine I had played that with my friend, and for the rest of the day, I only talked to my sister's shadow, but ignored my actual sister. We all know that would be strange, because the shadow is obviously not the real thing. That was essentially what the Israelites had done to Jesus. They had gradually started to believe that their sacrifices were the ones saving them, not Jesus. They had gradually started to believe they gradually started focusing on, as verse 1 says, the shadow of the things to come, rather than the very image of the things. These sacrifices were only meant to point the Hebrews to Jesus, not take away their sins. As verse 4 says, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Only Jesus can. We as believers can also get caught up in religious traditions rather than focusing on loving and worshiping God himself. Christianity becomes a duty and a chore rather than a wonderful relationship with the God of the creator of the universe. And the world thinks their good works, like giving to charity and being a good citizen, can save them. But only Jesus can save them. They don't have to do anything because Jesus has already done everything. He paid for the sins. He paid for the sins you have done and what you and the sins you already do. So, some questions to consider for the unbeliever: are you believing that your good works can save you? Because only Jesus is the one that can save you. His final sacrifice on the cross allowed us to access eternal life. Romans 10:13 says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on him today and receive the gift of salvation through Jesus' perfect sacrifice. For the believer, are there things coming between you and God? The relationship between you and God is the most important thing in your life, and yet we become so distant and relaxed about it so quickly. Search your heart and repent of those things that are keeping you from having an intimate relationship with God, whether it be a lack of trust or sin or just fear of the unknown. Give it to God.
All in all. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I sing. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Not to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all.
Bye.
and prepare to take up the offering, could you please turn your Bibles with me to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. It says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But say ye, wherein have we robbed thee? In thy tithes and offerings. It would be foolish to keep all of your money and that God hath allowed you to have." In Proverbs 3, 9, it says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits and all thy increase." Giving 10% of God's money to the church is honoring God, and it will allow our missionaries to go to all nations and spread the gospel so that people can have an opportunity to hear God's word. I'll pray as the men come forward. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the service. I pray that all goes well, and I pray for all the people that are going through troubles and that everything would just go smoothly tonight and that people would learn. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you can open your Bibles to John 15:4, I'll be reading out of John 15:4. So before I read out of John 15:4, what comes to mind when you hear the word abide? Abide means to dwell, to stay, or to stay in one's place. Abiding in Christ is a choice, but sadly, not all Christians that you know abide in Christ. If you can go down with me to John 15:4, it says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except ye abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." Go down to verse 5. It says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, ye can do nothing." So Christ compares our relationship with him as a vine and a branch. He supports and supplies for us. Without him, we cannot do anything. For example, when I got saved, he promised me to not only save me, but to grow me more into an image like his son. Jesus didn't leave it all up to me. After he saved me, all he said to do was abide in me in him, and I will bear fruit. You don't see a branch. Okay, let me give you an example. You don't see a branch struggling or in straining on its own effort to try to bear fruit. It just abides in the vine. And then if you go down to John 15:6, it says, if a man not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And a man is gathered them and cast into the fire, then they are burned. So if you don't abide in him, you're missing out on all the blessings that God has given you. If you go down to John 15:10, it says, if you keep my commandments, and ye shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Go down to 11. It says, these things have I spoken unto you my joy might remain in you, and that his joy might be fruitful. So before I conclude, I just want to say this. Trust in God, abide in him, and just remember as this, Jesus is the love, Jesus is the vine, the Christians are the branch, and the Father is the caretaker and the overseer. Thank you.
So I went to Peru for a couple weeks, and I was very thankful to do that because it was a really wonderful experience. I was given the opportunity to see all the churches that the missionaries and our pastor has planted there. It was pretty cool just actually looking at what you see and not just always hearing it from pastor, but it was pretty awesome. I was also given the opportunity to help in the English classes. We had lots of visitors, and the next Sunday morning we had even more visitors, and there was actually 90 people in our English classes, which is pretty awesome. One of the things that gave me a burden for Peru was a parade I saw. The parade had probably hundreds of people walking down the street, and I actually walked out there because I had heard all the loudness. It was really loud, like people were singing and like almost dancing, but they were like, I don't know, they were almost dancing. It was pretty cool to see though. But all the men were pretty much dressed in purple, most of them, and they had ropes around the idol that they were carrying on their backs. It was really sad to see, actually. They wouldn't let anybody down the streets, and because there were so many people walking down the streets, not a car could pass. And it was a really sad thing. After I saw this, I realized how lost Peru still is. Even though we have missionaries going there, it really is still a really lost country. I would just like to ask you all to be praying for Peru and to be praying for us to send more missionaries or to preach the gospel. Thank y'all.
If you guys can turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Numbers chapter 13, verse 27 to 33. It's a blessing to be here. I want to thank Brother Trent for giving us the opportunity to serve, to preach. Numbers chapter 13, verse 27 to 33. The Bible says, and they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are well and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are all well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Verse 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up all inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Verse 33. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So here we see God's people and Moses. We see them. We see how they're about to go into the promised land. Moses sends spies, 12 spies, to check out this land, and they come back with two reports, a good one and a bad report. The good report was that the land was there. God's promise was real. The bad report was that they were scared. They were afraid. They were doubting. They thought they were bigger, stronger than them just because they looked like giants. So in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, if we can go there real quick, verse 1 says, "Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee." So here we see God making the promise to Abraham. And in chapter 26, verse 2, he does his promise to Isaac. It says, "And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of." So Isaac is wanting to go down to Egypt. In the Bible, Egypt represents like the world. Isaac wants to go down there. He wants to feel secure with money, work, material things. But God tells him, no, don't go down there. I have a promise for you. I have a promised land for you. So God is with us. He gave Isaac this promise. We've been reading a book in the Spanish church called A Thousand Lives by our missionaries going to China. And the same way that Caleb and the spies see China as a giant, I see China as a giant. Why? Because China has 1.4 billion people. We have 10 missionaries. What are our 10 missionaries going to do? Our families can probably tell them, their friends can probably tell them, why are you going to China? How are you going to reach China by yourself? They're going to discourage them. They're going to tell them, you can't, just don't. You're wasting your time. But we need to remember that God is bigger than any giant. God is bigger than anything else. Amen? There are going to be giants, obstacles, trials, problems in our lives. But we need to remember that God has a promise for us. The same way he had a promise for them, he has a promise for us. In Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, the Bible, if you guys can go there, Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, the Bible says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Verse 20, "teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." So here we see God's promise. He's going to be with us. When we obey and when we do and obey his commandments, he's going to be with us. So we need to remember that God is always going to be with us. I've heard my granddad's story before leaving to Peru, how people would try to discourage him. People would try to tell him, why are you going there? Why are you going to Peru? It's a third world country. What are you going to do with the Peruvians? What are you going to do there? You have a good life right here. Why have to go over there? People would try to discourage him. But he decided not to listen to the world. He decided to go and make an impact. He decided to trust God. He decided to listen, not to listen to the world, because he knew that God's bigger than any giant, any problem. So I challenge you tonight. Maybe you have family, friends that are going to tell you, why are you doing this? Why are you following this God? Why are you? They're going to ask you all these things, try to discourage you. But I challenge you tonight to trust God. Remember that our God is bigger than any giant and any problem. Thank you.
Thank you all for coming this evening. It's a really big honor to be preaching here in English Church. So if you all go turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew 15. If y'all can turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew 15, we're going to read verses 1 through 9. And before we start, I just want to ask if we could pray that we could just understand this message. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this evening, and thank you for everything, Lord. I want to bless that you can help everyone here. You can work in their hearts, Lord, that they can understand what we're about to preach, and that you can just be a good God. We love you, God, and we'll always glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. So let's start reading. Matthew 15. "They came to Jesus, scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips. But their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." So basically, what the passage is showing here is that the scribes are all about Jesus. And they say they're willing to do anything. They say they're willing to do anything, and when he asks, they say they're willing to do anything for him, but deep down, Jesus knows that they're being fake. Jesus can see in our hearts, and he can tell if we're being fake or real. because he knows everything about us. So basically, he's calling them out as hypocrites because they're telling other people, like, oh, you guys, like, you don't worship God like I do, but they're not worshiping. So real quick, I'm going to ask you guys to just clear your minds of everything, you know, just, like, just think. So let's say, you know, me and Evans are talking one day, and I'm like, you know, Evans, you're such a good guy, such a good friend. I'm glad God brought me for you to be my friend. But then I go over to, like, Benjamin Sonko, and I'm like, yo, Ben, it's got Evans here. He ain't that good. Like, he's so rude. Like, why did God bring me a guy like him? That's being fake. Like, it's being a hypocrite. It's like, it says that in Matthew 15, we shouldn't be hypocrites. So, like, and it would also be like me going up to my little brother Carlos. Like, hey, Carlos, like, you know, you shouldn't be doing these bad things, you know, because God is always watching and he wants you to praise him. But then, like, going on, like Facebook Live or Instagram Live, like, yo, I'm doing all these bad things, you know. Like, we should be doing the complete opposite and praising the Lord our God. Amen, amen. I'm here tonight on behalf of Spanish Church to challenge you all to live for God faithfully, not just by words, but by our actions. We shouldn't be fake, but follow what the Bible says and honestly and truthfully live for God. Amen.
Promise, your buried body began to breathe out of the people. Okay. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Colossians chapter 2. I just want to say thanks to all of you guys and Trent for letting us come up here and be able to preach. So Colossians 2, I'll be starting in verse 4. It says, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for letting me have the opportunity to come up here and preach your word. Please change the hearts of people and my heart and others' hearts. Please bless the service and everyone that's been after me, and hopefully someone in here will be able to get saved and have a change of heart. Amen. So, verse 4, we'll go back, and it says, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." So this is Paul, and he's writing to the Church of Colossae. Church of Colossae wasn't started by Paul, so Paul's never been there before. He's never met them, but he's heard of stories saying that they are really faithful and loving to the Lord, and they just want to learn more about him and read more about him. But there's been rumors of heresy coming into the church, and this is basically a letter from Paul saying, or encouraging them, saying to keep on staying faithful, be cautious of the deceivers, and keep on maturing in the word. So verse 6, it says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." So notice the imperative verb, walk. Walk in him. Walk ye in him. Paul is encouraging for the church to keep on spiritually maturing. Let's keep on going to verse 7. It says, "Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." So what is your foundation? A foundation is something that you build off of, you build from. You can't have a house that has a foundation and then you build off the foundation, or else it's just going to fall off. It's pointless. So your foundation needs to be something that is super strong. So make Jesus your foundation. Grow in him and his word, because that's how we grow and understand him. Read his word. Jesus is the foundation. Everything in your life should be built off him and in his word. So let's go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. And this story is about the wise men on the rock. 7:24, Matthew 7:24. It says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon the rock." Verse 25, it says, "And the rain descendeth, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descendeth, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." So we see two people here. We see a wise man who builds his house, and he's building on a strong, solid foundation, a giant rock. And when the floods came, that's the troubles, when they came, the house withstood it. The house just went through it, and not a scratch, didn't get destroyed, didn't even budge. And verse 27 is talking about the troubles that came for the foolish man. And the same things came, the rain came, the floods came, but the foolish man built his house on the sand. And we know that sand, you can form it, but it'll just go away instantly. Like, it'll, like, just fall over. Like, when you're building a sandcastle, build out of sand, and the next thing you know, you got some 70-year-old kid that runs into it, and then you're like, hey, man, that's not nice. So his house got destroyed, torn to shreds, and it fell. And it says, and great was the fall of it. So it didn't just fall. It was like, just destroyed. So make Jesus your foundation. He is your rock. He cannot be knocked down. Worldly foundations are as fragile as sand. They're easily knocked down with no security. The rain, the story, or trials, tests, and attacks made by Satan. Be the wise man and have a solid, firm, trustworthy foundation. Don't be the foolish man and make your foundation something that's of this world, like money or fame, because those things are temporary. The things of this world are temporary. Jesus and heavenly things are eternal, so make him your rock and foundation. Go to verse 8, and it says, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So that's like false teachers. Verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Turn with me to 2 Peter 2:1. 2 Peter 2:1. It says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So notice how in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, beware. First word of that sentence is beware. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. So be cautious of the tricks and the heresy of other people trying to lead you away from God. Okay, so I know that a lot of y'all haven't been to school in like 100-something years. I mean, sorry. But for me, I'm in school right now. That's it's okay. And then, but I know that the gospel and God are not acceptable in today's school-like system. Because every teacher, well, almost every teacher, and especially science teachers, they'll try to tell you, they'll tell you that the world was made by accident over 4.7 billion years ago, that were made just through just sheer accident. Everything that you see was just accident. Nothing helps. We were made from evolution, came from monkeys. That there is no God, it's just us. That it's just us here, and there's no afterlife. It's just here, then we die, and that's it. Nothing, just blank nothing. But one specific teacher, I'm not going to say his name because I don't remember. So he said, at the beginning of the school year, he was like, hi, I'm blah, blah, blah. And he said, so I'm a Baptist. I go to a Baptist church. I'm very faithful to church. I go to church all the time. I do events and everything. I was like, hey, this is going to be pretty fun. I like this guy. I'm going to trust in what he says. That hit me hard. And then he claimed to be Baptist since the beginning. But one day we're talking about how we evolved from monkeys, like evolution, and how the world was created 4.7 billion years ago. And I knew it was like his job to try to teach us that. But then he says, he claimed again that day that he was a Baptist. He claimed that he knew God. He's read the Bible and everything. And then he says, at the end, he would say that believing that the world was made by accident didn't affect your faith and didn't affect anything about the Bible. But I knew this was just false philosophy, false teachings. Ephesians 6, chapter 12, or Ephesians 6, verse 12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. People, we're in a war. Many vain things and worldly thoughts and sin will try to hit you with everything they got. False philosophy, false teachings, people that want to take you away from God, take you away from the path of righteousness, and they want to keep you away from that. Temptation is a key player on the opposing team, on Satan's team. Many people will tell you different things, saying they are facts. But luckily for me, when my science teacher claimed that believing that the world is made by accident, believing that that didn't affect your faith, I knew that, or I had the armor of God on me right there. It just instantly hit me. Holy Spirit went to my mind and it brought me the verse, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And like the deep spiritual meaning of that is that God created the heaven and the earth. That's about as deep as you're going to get. And this verse, which is God's like flesh, God's words in the flesh, took away all the doubt in my mind. Because he was trying to put doubts in my mind, trying to make me question what I've been taught. And that verse just took it all away, took all the doubt. And since Jesus is my foundation, applying the Bible makes my foundation stronger. And that's the first step after you get salvation. Because salvation is your foundation. That's when your foundation starts. So after salvation, start to grow and mature spiritually in God. Reading the Bible is the only way to get to know your Father. Jesus is the truth, and Christ is life. Like Nate Wilkerson would be so happy right now if I said Christ is life. So go with me back to Colossians 2, verse 10. It says, And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So without Christ in us, we are not complete. But we have Christ in us, we are complete. Jesus completes us, and he is the all-powerful, almighty God. He is our foundation. Once we are saved, we are circumcised in spirit. Circumcision of the flesh is not a way to heaven. Anything physical is not a way to heaven. Not good works, not circumcision of birth, not christening. When you're a baby, what matters is your heart, what goes on the inside. So are you complete in him? Circumcision was a symbol that we get rid of the sinful body and are renewed with a new body. But we need to do this spiritually. Spiritually getting rid of the dirty, filthy rags of our flesh and have a new body in Christ. Verse 12 says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So I just want to make sure everyone knows that baptism is not salvation. Baptism is not a way into heaven. It's just a symbol. A symbol of us dying in our old bodies and raised back up in a new body with Jesus. It's a proclamation telling the world that you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and that he's forgiven you of all your sins, and you've asked for forgiveness, and that you're going to heaven. Verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So when Jesus was on the cross, he took our sin debt, then he rose again. It's just awesome. When he died in our place, took the burden of sin off of us, we had this big sin coat that was like on top of us, we just couldn't hold it. He just took it off and puts it on him when he's on the cross. And he gave us a way to make him as our foundation. So John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:17 says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Another verse, 1 Peter 2:24, it says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, shall live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Jesus died for us, and he rose again. He took our sin debt. He loves us. Without him, we are nothing. We're incomplete. But with Jesus, we have a purpose. We have a meaning. We are complete in him and him alone. What Jesus did for us is amazing. He died, rose again, just so we can have a relationship with God and have a way to heaven. We learn about Jesus in only one way, and that's the Bible. Is Jesus your foundation? Is he your rock when the rains come? Be the wise man, not the foolish man. Build your foundation on the Lord, a strong, sturdy rock that is immovable. Have him be your roots. Colossians 2:7 says to root and build up in him. Make God your foundation. Read your Bible and learn more and understand more about your Creator. Colossians 2:3 says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The Lord is the only place where we get true wisdom. Not Georgia Tech, not UNG, not North Forsyth High School, Redneck Yee Yee Club. That's not, definitely not a place to get wisdom. Trust me. Once you get some Bible in you, keep on going. Keep on going. Once you get done reading the Bible once, don't just stop and say, okay, that's enough. That's all I need to know. Keep on going. Read it again and again and again. Every day, just read the Bible. Learn more about him. Stay faithful to the Lord. I want to challenge you to keep away from the deceivers who will try to manipulate you and trick you. Reading your Bible, you'll know what God would do in the situation. You know what to say when something like that happens, like when the teacher told me that believing that the world is an accident didn't affect your faith. That one verse the Holy Spirit just put in, Genesis 1:1, right in my mind. That's like the armor of God right there. So stay faithful to the Lord. Be cautious around deceivers and grow spiritually in him. And your foundation, which is Jesus, will let you hold your ground. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for having us all here together. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to preach and talk about your word. Thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for dying on the cross for us and rising again. If you're here and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you would come and have a change of heart. They talk about how deceivers try to trick you and manipulate you. Try to get a relationship with God. Try to learn more about him and understand what he would do. Stay faithful to the Lord if you are saved. If you're not saved, go talk to someone. Go talk to a preacher, someone that you trust in this church or in any other church that preaches the truth. Let your foundation be, or hold your ground. Let your foundation be Jesus. He will hold you, he will protect you. He will let you have armor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
So our youth group just wanted to thank Trent and Steph really quick. They do a lot for us. You don't really see all that they do, but they put up with teenagers, which is a pretty big deal if you've ever hung out with one or two of us. So we have cards for both of you, and then Ty is going to come up and do announcements.
Well, so we have a community Thanksgiving dinner, which is going to be Tuesday the 26th. It's pretty much annual dinner, and the meal begin at 6:30. Then there's Christmas in South Forsyth on December the 15th, so set your calendars for that. The big three for the week is staff missionaries, which is the Coffee family in South Africa. The strategic partner is the Wormley family in Kenya. And the country of the week is Ethiopia. So, yeah. You may be dismissed.